Hello, and welcome back to Manga Kaiwa Monday Edition.
Yes, and we are welcome back because we just tried, but had a little kind of error, and now we're back. Yeah. So we are doing this whole welcome back to Manga Kaiwa a second time. Very great.
Yeah. Take two.
Yes, you know, our practice is perfect, right? Yes, Monday Edition. Like I was just saying, we are here to provide you with some kind of ear... you know, like fodder for a bit while you are coming home from your horrible first day at week or first day at work or at school or of the week, whatever. First day.
Yeah, that would be.
All right, Ben, let's do this again. What season of what anime have you recently just finished?
All right, so I've recently finished the first season of Vinland Saga and I was thoroughly impressed. It was, I really liked the, I mean, you know, I feel like I've often seen people comparing Vinland Saga to Berserk, and I can already, even though, like, you know, I haven't gotten, like, you know, too far in the story, obviously, I can already kind of see that. I mean, the character development is really amazing, particularly with the character Canute, who is sort of the, who is the prince of the royal family of, is it? Wait, so,
Denmark,
so King Swain was the... Of
yeah.
Denmark, yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, but yeah, and you know, I mean, I haven't read the manga, but I know Thorfinn gets a lot of like gets a major. I mean, the protagonist gets a major development later on, but yeah.
Well, also, it's incredible because, like, you know, as I was just saying, whilst a lot of other manga series and just series in general do, you know, they do put a lot of emphasis and they do give a lot of importance to things like. World building, things like that. Well, obviously, you know, the Viking based setting in Vinland Saga is great. It adds a lot of kind of, you know, a nice kind of edge to the tone of the story through its surroundings. But I think the main thing, undisputably, that Vinland Saga has to offer are characters. And I think, you know, maybe that seems like stating the obvious. And yes, a lot of stories do focus on characters, but there are also a lot of stories that balance characters out with other things to, you know, provide their own kind of unique appeal. But in the case of Vinland Saga, and I have read the manga, I'll just preface with that. I'm caught up at volume 24. There's a 25th volume that I haven't read yet, but I'll get to that later. but I think the coolest thing is that, like, you know what you're getting into as soon as you finish basically volume 8, which is where season 1 leaves off. You know that this is going to be a series about, like, you know, just the development and the changes that these characters undergo. And I can guarantee you it's not just Thorfinn. Like, there are a lot of characters you haven't met yet that go through some very, very, like, comprehensive changes, let's just say. But yeah, so I'm gonna try obviously not to spoil anything for Ben and for everybody else. And I will not spoil anything. Exactly. Can't. There is no try.
Indeed, yeah.
Indeed.
All right. So today we'll be discussing, you know, a what-if scenario if Askeladd didn't end up dying in the throne room scene at the end of the first season, or rather at the end of the prologue.
Yeah. So, I've heard so many people, like, when they reacted to Vinland Saga, the last episode of the season, they were like, what, this is the prologue?
And yeah, I was actually like that.
I was just like that too. It's like, wait, what? But it sort of is. It is like, yeah. Imagine if, like, Vinland Saga is a mountain that has two peaks, two, like, sides, right? Like any mountain, I guess. Like, the prologue is like this, and then this is like the kind of like the, I don't know, like the rest of it. It's almost like, you know, it's more like a valley, actually. It's like the prologue is like the getting to the point zero, and then the steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, it is in the name, right? Because it's Vinland Saga, and they haven't reached Vinland Saga. I mean, Vinland yet. So it, I suppose it makes sense.
I honestly don't think they've reached Vinland quite yet. Well, let me say it. They haven't reached Vinland where I am either. I think they might have been volume in the next few volumes, but who knows? I mean, I don't count that as a spoiler.
Yeah.
That is, like, the goal of the series. I think it'll come. And again, like, I'm not completely caught up. I am a volume behind, but still. I think that what we're kind of aiming to do with our two perspectives, Ben being someone who's experienced the first prologue, or the prologue, and being kind of like most recently acquainted with the events of it, so he's like, he has it all fresh in his mind, whereas I sort of like am probably biased towards the event that the events that do happen following the death of Askeladd in the throne room. So hopefully we can balance each other out with like our opinions, which is going to be a task. All right, well then, first we want to talk about, or at least I think this is sort of what we agreed on, how it would come about that Askeladd survives the throne room scene. Because, I mean, I was telling to this dude by text, but like, you know, so much happens to Askeladd, like internally and externally. I think like 80%, I would say, of his character, or like, you know, let's say at least 60% of his character development happens in that throne room scene, which is just
great. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that. I mean, I think that like, you know, I feel like you can kind of see like, you know, his character sort of like, I mean, not really develop, but sort of progress as like the whole like campaign with like Knut starts. But you're right. I mean, that whole like scene is definitely where like, you know, 80% of like his character really shines, I guess. Yeah.
Also, like, I think what was so key in that scene is where Svein said, we're going to invade Wales. Like, we're going to assault Wales. That was obviously the turning point of that scene, which is, it was obviously the point where Askeladd was like, okay, it's not worth it if my homeland is going to be destroyed. Like, I can't live with that. Because, you know, and especially, like, I think Askeladd is just letting everything out. And in a way, he has the perfect death of all time in the scene, which is what sort of makes it, you know, a bit tricky to do this what if, right? Because he just lets it all out. He says, like, I hate Vikings. You guys are all swines. Like, you know, I've hated every minute I've spent with you. And he's not lying. You know, he because they're the people who have wreaked havoc upon him and everybody. And he just has to bear with it, you know? But I feel like it's sort of weird, right? Because whereas Thorfinn is just sort of tagging along with Askeladd and being a Viking himself without really wanting to be, just because he wants to kill Askeladd. Askeladd is sort of just tagging on with the Vikings, like in general, even though he doesn't want to be, but because he wants to be Vikings too. Which is why I think it's so important that at least I am going to try to focus on the impact it will have on Thorfinn's timeline and his character development arc if Askeladd survives. So in the throne room, obviously Thorfinn comes at a point where Askeladd has already killed several, like, he's killed Svein, he's killed several of his guards, and he's in this pool of blood, and Thorfinn comes at a point where it's already impossible for Askeladd to be saved, basically. But I think the weirdest thing, and one of the best parts of the throne room scene, I will note, is when sort of like that eye-to-eye, let's say wordless kind of like interaction that Knut and Askeladd have after the deed has been done to Svein. They sort of like immediately acknowledge, like, it's like Askeladd is telling Knut, like, don't hesitate, you have to become king and you have to pursue your ambitions. And it's like, okay, so Knut just launches a full-on assault on it. My preposition or proposition to how Askeladd would survive would be through Thorfinn realizing earlier, and then also Knut making an effort, you know, with whatever tactical means he has, to kind of delay the massive onslaught of soldiers that prevented Thorfinn from saving Askeladd in the actual timeline. I know that's a bit boring, but I think it also sets up a lot for the later parts of the story, because Knut, you know, it could have been seen, like, maybe there were some, you know, people who are part of the Danish court, so the Danish royal court, who kind of somehow picked up on the fact that Svein was, you know, like, killed, but then Knut didn't do everything he could to kill Askeladd. I think that might be actually something that would be cool. Like, in the moment, it might sound boring, but I think in the long term, it might have some pretty cool impacts on, like, Knut's relationship to Askeladd and how he goes about, like, you know, because Askeladd is obviously in exile, like, after this. That's, like, the next point I wanted to get to. And how does Knut deal with that? Like, he killed the king of Denmark, and being the kind of honor-obsessed Vikings that they are, the Danish would obviously want to go after him. How is Knut going to deal with that, you know, if he did all that to save Askeladd in the first place? I think that's what makes my position interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that is in question. I think that, you know, but I mean, I think that you know, I mean, I guess this is a bit like simplistic, but I think that, you know, with Canute ultimately seizing power and becoming the king, I feel like, you know, he could like have the authority to like, you know, rein in the Vikings, you know, like command them like to not go after him, that he sees, you know, exile as a more fitting punishment than death. I mean, you know, and he could just like, you know, offer whatever reasoning he has. But I feel like if he, with his authority as king, he could like, you know, probably rein them in, I think.
Yeah, he could, but you have to keep in mind, I think that the people, because obviously there are a lot of like kind of people who kiss up to the people in the utmost positions of power in any court. But we saw that a lot with like Ragnar's brother, for example, kissing up to Canute, you know, as soon as he came back with everyone. And like Thorkell did all of his weird like side changes and stuff like that. But in any case, I think like what would be so interesting about this is that, I mean, yes, like, let's say we go ahead with like what you proposed, which is that Askeladd is kind of just left alone by Canute because it's like a more fitting punishment, which is kind of Canute's excuse, let's just say, quote unquote. There would definitely be some keen eyes in the court that I think would pick up, like I said, on the fact that that isn't right. Like, you know, you have some kind of reason you're not hurting this man and all that kind of stuff. And obviously that's a personal reason. And I think that could like cause some turmoil for Canute in his reign as kingship, because, you know, he's kind of, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say anything else because I could probably go spoiling as to what he does when he's king, which, I mean, isn't anything significant, but it would probably be heavily impacted by the fact that he has to somehow protect Askeladd while acting like he's trying to kill him or not, or just not being, you know, in contact with him. Do you think we could go along with that just so that we have like a consistent line of reasoning? So like Thorfinn comes to save Askeladd and Canute kind of does things in his power, let's say to like make them go more after Thorfinn than after Askeladd, and somehow that causes enough confusion that they're both able to escape because of Canute's kind of tactical kind of help. I think that might be a good thing to go along with for the rest of the kind of conversation. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree, yeah.
All right. So this is the part that I've been waiting for, because there are so many possibilities here. There are two that I especially think are really interesting, one of which I think is super interesting and kind of one of the reasons I wanted to do this. What would happen in exile? Like, where would Thorfinn and Askeladd go? Because I would say that after this, like, Thorfinn would, okay, let's go with this. Like, what is Thorfinn's reaction after things have cooled down and they're able to kind of like perceive what's going on? Like, what would Thorfinn's reaction be when he realized that Askeladd had killed Svein and that he had actually saved the very person he wanted to kill? Like, what do you think his feelings would be? Like, because I have an answer, but I'd like to hear yours. I'm actually curious.
Yeah, I mean, so like, Askeladd saving Canute, but wait, so are you wanted to kill Canute, or
no, sorry, that might have come out, I probably mixed up a few names. But like, so Thorfinn, right, he saves Askeladd, and after things have been cooled down, like, you know, after things like there's not as much high tension, let's say they find a hiding place, and Askeladd is all wounded and he's healing and stuff like that, like, what is Thorfinn's inner turmoil or dialogue while he's thinking to himself, wait, I saved the man that I wanted to have dead, but I also saw him kill his king. Like, what is going on here? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Thorfinn would definitely be in a state of confusion, but ultimately, I don't think Thorfinn would be in, like, you know, in big, you know, in such a huge turmoil over, like, I guess, how to deal with the situation. Because I feel like, you know, at this point in the story, you know, with Askeladd still alive, revenge is still very much in Thorfinn's mind, and he still very much wants revenge. And I think this is actually a very similar dynamic to, funny enough, Goku and Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, because there's quite a few moments in both, like, the I guess the actual manga/anime and the movies where Vegeta, like, you know, Vegeta saves Goku from harm, but he's only doing it because, you know, he supposedly wants to kill him himself one day.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like, you know, that I feel like that is kind of comparable to like what Askeladd, I mean, I mean, I should pray with Thorfinn to Askeladd here, with, you know, Thorfinn being like the comparison of Jeep. I think that, but yeah, I think that, you know, is Thorfinn would like just take this opportunity to like duel him again. I think he'd probably let him heal because he still has, ultimately has his honor as a, as a Viking. Although Thorfinn doesn't really consider himself a Viking, I guess, since he joined, I guess, like you said, like he tags along with the Vikings, but he himself is, well, he is from Iceland, but I'm not sure like if he,
well, I don't think he like, it's like more of one of those situations where he is a Viking, but not for the sake of being a Viking. I think if someone, he would say he's a Viking, but he wouldn't like say it in terms of like, I'm proud to be Viking. He'd just say I'm a Viking.
Yeah. Because
his real objective is to kill the person he's.
Yeah. Followed. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, I mean, Thorfinn still has this whole code of honor, like, you know, in terms of like having like an honorable duel, like, you know, which we saw from the, you know, early on in Thorfinn's time with Askeladd and his crew, where like Thorfinn has the opportunity, or at least supposedly, to kill Askeladd in his sleep, but he can't do it because that wouldn't be honorable, which I guess I'm trying to say that is that he inherited it, that from his father, Thors.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I feel like, I think the interesting thing there is that, like, you know, it's obviously revealed a bit later, like Thors and who he is, but also I feel like it, in the case of Thors, it's more like, it's not like, I feel like a code of honor in the sense of the Vikings, because like he's not like, you know, he wants to die with his weapon. He's not someone, he throws away his weapon before he dies, actually, which is something completely unheard of, because you have to die with your weapon, as you know, in order to go to Valhalla in the kind of Norse mythos, or according to it. He's, I think, very anti kind of this Viking weapon code. I think it's more he sticks to the principle of not killing, and that swords are the enemy of man as opposed to the tool of man. They're purely for killing, which is, again, a theme that is really expanded upon later in the story. But I guess, like, I feel like Thorfinn, it takes that a step further, because he doesn't know his father. In fact, I think this is one of the biggest parts of the prologue, or season one, of the anime, and the eight volumes of the manga, the first eight volumes, is that, like, Thorfinn kind of misinterprets his father, and sort of loses his sight of his father's teachings, like, you know, him saving the slave and all that kind of stuff. He's completely blinded by his shock and rage that he just kind of blurts it out. He blocks it out, and sort of just decides to become a Viking, even though, like he said, it's kind of weirdly contradictory. He probably doesn't even identify himself as a Viking truly. And I feel like, you know, that again is probably going to prevent him from killing Askeladd while he's weakened by his kind of fights, plural, in the throne room. But I think eventually, I do agree with you that right now, this isn't like the moment where, like, you know, it's going to be like a Canute 180 in 5 seconds. No, it's not going to be that. I think it's going to be more like the planting of the seed of doubt in Askeladd's mind, or like the official planting, where he realizes that there's something not right. Like, you know, yes, you know, he probably would be in a state of denial where he would tell himself, well, Askeladd's a Viking, he's a power hungry person, he would definitely, you know, try to just kill the king to maybe seize his power at some point. But then I think he would kind of inertly, like without kind of overtly kind of thinking it on the manga page or in the anime kind of inner monologue, let's just say, I think it would sow doubt in him, because why in the world would someone like Askeladd kill the king in that kind of manner in front of everyone if he wanted power? And that's just going to make him a target for executioners and bounty hunters and things like that. And I feel like that's really what's going to make, that's going to shake up Thorfinn, where he's going to have to try really hard to keep himself blind like he has for the last like 10 years. Or what is it? I think like 8 years or something like that, at least. Because how old is he at the end of season one? Because he was 6 when Thors died.
Yeah. So like, I think it was 11 years. So 17, right? Yeah.
I mean, and I think like what really kind of made me want to do this video again is like, where do they go after, like, let's say they're chased out or they're forced out of wherever they're hiding or Askeladd has been healed. And I have two propositions. One of them being Yelmsburg, which is a nice option. I think I'd love to talk about that one, but it doesn't excite me nearly as much as the next one. Because Yelmsburg is sort of like a neutral party. It would obviously cause problems because like Yelmsburg is in many ways associated with the Danish kind of forces. So like, you know what Yelmsburg is like, it's where Floki's from and stuff, right? It's like that kind of weird elite faction that Thor's was also part
somewhat,
of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either he would go there. And again, this is actually really expanded upon in a later arc, what Yelmsburg is, but it's sort of like, let's just say it's just a burg. It's a castle where a lot of strong people are, you know, he would either flee there, but then it would, that would sort of be weird because why would he? It would probably cause some problems if someone found out that he was there, like between the Danish court and the kind of leaders of Yelmsburg. You know what I'm saying? But I think at the end of the day, what I think would be the coolest option is if they fled to Wales. Because this is, I think, I really want to pursue this because, I mean, obviously, Askeladd is from Wales. And I think especially knowing his background story at this point, you know, how he, the reason he hates the Vikings, obviously, you know, Askeladd hasn't told this to Thorfinn. Thorfinn is completely oblivious to the past that Askeladd has suffered through. But I think it would be so cool to see Askeladd come into his own element, you know, his own element being the Welsh community, who he actually is proud of being a member of, unlike the Vikings. And seeing how different he would be, I think would really let that seed of doubt that was planted when he saved Askeladd to grow in Thorfinn. I think that would be
cool.
Like he would see, like, I don't know, Askeladd helping around the community or, I don't know, just being a completely different person, a less aggressive person, a less Viking-like person. Like, you know, and he would be like, what is this person? This is not the person I want to kill, is it? You know, and that I think would strengthen his inner turmoil.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, although let's say, go back on what you said earlier, I think that, I mean, if I remember correctly, I think I think Thorfinn is actually aware of Askeladd's past, because I think that after their sort of like duel in the snow and like Askeladd, you know, sort of, I just, you know, beats Thorfinn up, he goes on to like talk about his past to Canute and Thorfinn.
Okay.
So, I mean, I might be remembering wrong, but I think that, I mean, I think Askeladd, I mean, sorry, I keep mixing up the names. Thorfinn is sort of aware of Askeladd's past.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Then I probably just forgot about that, but I did. So, I mean, then again, that you could say, like, for example, was already like the initial kind of little mini seed of doubt. But I guess I think what Vinland Saga becomes at this point is not a journey of, you know, this is not really spoilers because I guess it's obvious, a journey of Askeladd or of Thorfinn without Askeladd, lost of his purpose or devoid of purpose, but a story where he doubts and doubts and doubts more and more and more the purpose of his existence. While he could actually technically still pursue it. In the actual timeline, he isn't able to because Askeladd is dead. But in this timeline, he is able to because Askeladd is still alive. Like, he has the opportunity, but I feel like it would be a much more drawn-out process of him realizing eventually, and this is, I think, the last point that I wanted to make, or, like, the last kind of major kind of topic I wanted to discuss is, what does this do to Thorfinn? Like, as an aftermath, like, what is the eventual result of this? And I honestly think that in this case, the trajectory of the plot in Vinland Saga would be shifted from what it is to a story about Thorfinn coming to terms with the fact that he's lost his hate for Askeladd. And that he, I think it would be a situation where he realizes, and this is actually something, you know, oddly enough, not oddly enough, but, you know, just as a figure of speech, I said that, that, you know, is also expanded upon in the actual timeline of like how everybody has their own lives and how that kind of makes it even more wrong to kill someone because you're ending this whole thread of connections and emotions that this person has represented for their entire life. And I think the really like awesome thing about how that kind of ties into this kind of fictional timeline that we're, this alternate timeline, let's just say, that we're discussing right now, is that I feel like Thorfinn would just become more and more lost and unable to hate Askeladd And that would really kind of force him to do actually what he does in any case, but which is probably to realize that he needs to do something else, that he's lost so much of his life to this kind of hatred. And obviously he will not have met a lot of the very important people that he does meet in the actual timeline. And in this case, I think it would be a lot more of a lonely story for Thorfinn. I think it would be a story where he feels it's almost too late to repent for what he's done. And we're almost like, I think it would be the end of the story would be, you know, and this is a bit weird because the actual story hasn't even ended, but it would be a story where Thorfinn actually sacrifices something, whether it be his life or whether it be something even more important, like, you know, his ability to walk or something like that for Askeladd. And I also think it would be him realizing that he's following Askeladd to help him achieve his ambitions, because I think at this point, Askeladd is going to realize that, you know, either if the Danish forces realize he's in Wales, or they just go and pursue the proposition of King Svein in any case, and they do end up invading Wales, even if Canute isn't completely on board, you know, he's going to have to fight back no matter what he does. Even if he knows it's futile, he's going to have to fight back. And I think that that is the point at which Thorfinn is going to have to make a decision, like, what the heck, like, am I gonna fight against these people? Like, it's impossible. Like, and I think that's where he's gonna have to realize, like, I think that's gonna be the snapping point where he's like, okay, if I'm really gonna put my life on the line for this person to this extent, I don't want to kill them anymore. Like, it's just logic now. Now I wanna hear what you want to say about, as soon as they get to Wales, what would happen?
Yeah, wow. I mean, I was really amazed by your analysis. I think that, you know, of course, I'm coming as someone, like, you know, who hasn't read beyond the prologue, but I think that in this case, I feel like, you know, if Thorfinn, you know, I think that, I mean, obviously, you know, with Askeladd still alive, I think that it would be a very, very difficult process for Thorfinn to, you know, abandon his revenge, if he, you know, abandons it at all. I think that, you know, I guess that it's kind of highlighted in, you know, his interaction with Leif Erikson when he sees him again, when Leif is trying to bring Thorfinn home, but Thorfinn just can't bring himself to, like, actually go along with Leif, because, like, he's just like, you know, as long as Askeladd is still, you know, eating, breathing, and, you know, shitting, sorry for language, but he can't, like, live peacefully.
I feel like that's what he actually said, though, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
it's after the whole Thorfinn call Sefni crap, like, where, like, you know, like, oh, is Thorfinn call Sefni? And then, like, Thorfinn just boxes another person or something, like,
yeah.
Yeah, but Thorfinn, I have to say, was, I mean, very rarely, but sometimes at least, very almost comically edgy, like, in his in the prologue, like,
yeah
looking back on it, it was, like, almost comical how edgy he was, especially, yeah, when he punches the kind of controller or whatever his name, like, the Commodore.
I mean you've seen, like, I guess, like, some of the anime, right? Or
a bit, nonetheless, like, the famous parts.
I mean, Thorfinn's voice actor definitely complements that perfectly. He perfectly captures, like, the edginess, you know, with Thorfinn. But getting back on track, I think that, you know, if Thorfinn, you know, does eventually decide to, you know, abandon this idea of revenge, I think that, you know, even so, I think there's actually a pretty big parallel here to Guts and Griffith and Berserk. I think that, you know, Guts at this point, you know, revenge is still, it's in the back of his mind, because, you know, what Griffith did to Guts, he can't let go of that. But at the same time, it isn't his top priority anymore. Now Guts' top priority is, you know, trying to protect his, you know, his newfound friends and Casca, of course. And I think that in this scenario, I think that Thorfinn might actually undertake a similar path. I think that if Thorfinn decides to ultimately abandon revenge, I feel like, even then, I feel like Thorfinn just, I'm not sure if he would be able to bring himself to just, you know, just keep living with Askeladd because of, you know, because of Askeladd's murder of his father. I think that what Thorfinn might actually potentially try to do is try to, you know, actually go back to Iceland and, you know, and see his mother and sister. I think that, I mean, I think that, you know, because it's not like he's forgotten about them, and, you know, they have not been his top priority, but now I think that
forced them out of his memory base or his mind, because he can't think about them, you know, by selfishly pursuing revenge.
So I feel like, you know, now if Thorfinn does indeed undergo this huge like identity crisis, where he's like, you know, what have I done? I've lost 11 years of my life to this machine of revenge. I feel like, you know, he still wouldn't be able to, you know, bring himself to like live with Askeladd, but now he's just like, okay, I have to go see my family because I've left them behind, and it's my responsibility to come back to them and, you know, just help them in any way I can. So I feel that's one road he could potentially go down in that scenario.
Yeah. And I think like what would really amaze me is, I mean, imagine if you're in Thorfinn's position in this kind of alternate timeline, right? Like, I feel like, you know, in the actual timeline, again, it's the huge difference between the two timelines is that here, like, one Askeladd is dead, one Askeladd isn't. That's the whole point. But if Askeladd is alive, I feel like it's almost like he would probably spend even more than 11 years hating Askeladd, probably more like 16 or 17 or even 20, like, until he's fully kind of, or at least, you know, mostly accepted that he cannot hate Askeladd anymore because of the experiences he has in Wales. I think that's what really makes Vinland Saga more of a story about Thorfinn's acceptance than anything else. And in that sense, I don't think it would even be Vinland Saga anymore, like, because Vinland wouldn't be the goal. I feel like it would almost be like, I've spent so much time with Askeladd, I can't, like, I have to somehow, you know, use my newfound acceptance, but still pursue what I am doing. I think, honestly, that Thorfinn would just decide to stay with Askeladd, not maybe with him, but like maybe as a right-hand man or something, in like his endeavors as maybe like a Welsh kind of like leader or something like that. I honestly think that would be what he's done. I think it would be a situation where he's like, you know, I've done all these things, these terrible things, but I've already kind of set myself on this path. It would be less productive if I were to abandon this path. Let me just go in the right direction on the same path that I've been going down. I think that would be an interesting alternative. But again, I think like if you were, let's just pursue your kind of proposition, right? If you were to go to Iceland, what if he got his desire to go to Vinland rekindled again? And he just, maybe he just decides to go with the people of Iceland, you know, because maybe Iceland has just become completely uninhabitable with like, you know, Sigurd and stuff like that. You know, being all crazy. His name is, wait, who's the, what was it? Who's it again?
Oh yeah, the bandit guy, like that came.
Well, no, the leader of the town that's like, we want to take over your town, give me back my slave.
Oh yeah, I can't remember his name, but I know you're talking about.
Is it his, like, this is not, but he, I always get mixed up with his son, who's part of the story later on. But, okay, whatever. yeah, but I think like that is already a pretty comprehensive analysis that we've done there. I think, you know, just in conclusion, I think that, you know, Vinland Saga is a story that is so legendary because of the direction that it's gone in. So, you know, again, that sort of highlights again the pointlessness of what ifs. But again, like, what is the point of anything we're doing here besides just having fun about talking about anime and manga, right?
Yes, indeed. It's all just in good fun. So yeah, try not to take us too seriously.
And I guess, like, you know, it's just, I think it's just a lot of musing that I've done, at least. But I think that's how it is a lot of the times when we're talking, because it's like a what if scenario. I feel like, you know, again, like I said, it would most likely, if it had taken the turn of Askeladd surviving, not even be quote unquote Vinland Saga anymore, it would probably be like, you know, Thorfinn's acceptance saga, like, you know,
because Wales saga.
Wales saga. Welsh saga. But like, I do feel like that would be really interesting, like seeing a bit more of the society in Wales, because like I was so interested about like, you know, the Romans kind of having residual roots in Wales, like even after their kind of complete downfall by that point, because like at that point they had like kind of already been dead for like what, 200 years, I think, something like that, or like something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too, honestly. That would have been interesting. I think that also, yeah, with Askeladd exploring his you know, his Welsh roots and, you know, his ancestry with, you know, Artorius, which is you know, Arthur, of course, and of course he has, yes, Lucius Artorius Castus.
Yeah. Artorius Castus Lucius something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He had a long name, but that was one of the most epic moments where he says his actual name. I'm not the Ash child. Because in the Japanese, which is the copy that I have, it says Asherato. So it's not Askeladd, it's Asherato.
Asherato, yeah.
And because like Asher in German as well is ash. It's just like, you know, it's soot. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, Yukimoto, or never mind, Yukimura, the author of Vinland Saga, is a really, really, really talented author, not only artistically, but again, that is something to recognize artistically as well. He is amazing, but he's also written a really weird kind of like mix of stories, if you consider Vinland Saga and Planets, which is actually a story about scrapping astronauts, like astronauts that are just like gathering space waste. And just like, you know, they're just trash people in the trash can people in space. You know, like it's apparently like a very visually heavy novel or story, and it is also, I think, I mean, a lot shorter. It's 4 volumes, but they're pretty thick volumes. You know, it's one of those stories. It's just one of those thick volume stories.
I see.
But yeah, I do want to experience that. All right, so without going on too much, I think that is probably where I'd leave it. Are there any like last thoughts? I mean, like on season 2, for example, like, I mean, what do you expect?
Ooh, that's a question. I think that, I mean, you know, I mean, I think I already have a general idea of what's going to happen, though. I mean, I know, like, Askeladd, why do I keep making some names? Thorfinn. And Thorfinn does, you know, abandon his revenge. I mean, I guess he has to, because Askeladd is dead. But, you know, he sort of realizes, like, you know, the sheer gravity of, you know, like, how of his, you know, his whole road of revenge. And yeah, I feel like I've actually seen this one panel where, like, he, you know, he's looking at his knife, and you can see, like, all of, like, the corpses on it, right?
It's really famous.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they actually, like, I mean, if they adapt that, which they probably will in the anime.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oof.
The next arc is, in my opinion, I can definitely say that it is my favorite arc in Vinland Saga, and I think it is even better than the prologue. Like, oh my gosh. The war arc is, is something else, but the next arc is... Oof. And it is
different. Yeah, I've heard it actually has to do with farming.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay.
That's the thing, because like the appeal of a lot of WIT Studios animation in the last season was its action-based stuff. So I think the production staff are very concerned about how this is going to be received by people who don't really know what goes on in the manga. But okay. Yeah. Please do not botch this, whoever is making this anime season, because I am certain there are some instances where it could be an amazing series. And there is also some action. There is, especially towards one point in the part of the series, there's a lot of action, but for most of it, it is a lot of reflection, a lot of talking, and a lot of kind of like beautiful landscapes and like simple things, which I think is really cool too. But yeah. But I, you know, it's so interesting because you'll see this in Vagabond as well.
Ooh, yes.
Farming in Vagabond.
All right.
Last arc.
All right. Well, really, so farming in Japan's very not fertile land, I guess.
And that is definitely something you feel in the last arc of Vagabond.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Alrighty. Well then, thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to log off. We've probably rambled on a bit too long.
Yeah. But, thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week, strugglers. We'll try to get back to Sunday, Monkaiwa. No, Monday.
Yes, hopefully.
All right. Bye.
Catch you later.
Ciao.